Okay, we're at the top of Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Who's starting the Daf Yomi? Nobody.
Go ahead.
Hmm? Who's finishing? You're finishing.
I'm continuing.
You're continuing. This is your first time around, or
two and a third.
Mazel tov. It's always curious to me. People, like, a lot of people are going to start on Brachos Daf Beis on Sunday. But like, it's always curious to me people that start like, you know, a quarter of the way into the cycle.
I started three different times, and the one that stuck,
like people
was,
quit smoking.
I stuck every day.
Yeah, my dad
it was Masechet Avodah Zarah.
That was.
Well, Mazal Tov to you.
My dad used to say it's very easy to give up smoking. He's done it countless times.
Yes, so Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah had told us that when they go to the Bet Din, and the Bet Din is examining the witnesses to determine the Kiddush HaChodesh, among the questions they would ask are, Kama haya gavoa v'la'ayin haya noteh? How high, what elevation was the moon in the sky above the horizon, and in which direction was it pointing? So Tana chada litzfona dvarav kayamin, Ladroma lo amar klum. V'tanya ipcha. Ladroma dvarav kaimin. L'sfona lo amar klum. So there's a machlokas tanoim. One said that if the witness says that it was in the north, then his testimony is accepted. And if the moon was seen in the south of the on the horizon, then it's false. Another Tana said the exact opposite. So how could it be? I mean, these are factual matters that anyone can go out and check once a month. Now, what does it mean it's in the north? Right? In other words, this is north and this is south, and this is east and this is west. Let the record show for those listening on tape. I am pointing in the cardinal directions. So what does it mean? The moon is never in the north or the south, right? Where is the moon? So the moon rises sometime somewhere over there generally, right? You know, like when we go out for Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Which is not on Rosh Chodesh. It's a few days after, so the position has changed slightly, right? It's Kiddush HaChodesh, we say, so usually between the third and the seventh of the month, generally speaking. But when there's Rosh Chodesh, we just had it, right? Yeah. We just had it. It was a beautiful new moon. Because what was that, Mars? One of the planets, either Mars or Jupiter, is visible in the night sky now. If only Tom were here. No doubt he's listening to the recording and he'll let us know. But the new moon, the sliver of the new moon was visible. But where was the new moon? Do you remember? No.
South.
The new moon is always seen over Neve Daniel.
It was north.
North of what?
Of Efrat.
Well,
no, look south of it.
No, the north. No. Sorry, the no. Northwest.
It was right over there. Right over there. If you're walking down Yonatan HaShmonei, you can usually see the new moon over there, a little more to the south, a little more to the north, depending on
time of year.
So there's this machlokas tanoim about what's the proper answer. So what's the answer? Lo kasha. It's not a machloket. Kan bimota chama, kan bimota geshamim. Whether you're in the summer or the winter. In the winter, where is the moon going to appear? Looking due west. La 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 la. We drank your health in the hope that it would summon you.
See, it worked. You should drink more.
The sun sets over there, right?
Can you celebrate?
Listen. The sun sets over there. If you imagine a spot where the sun sets. Right? In the summer, the sun is going to set further to the north on the western horizon. And in the winter, it's going to set further to the south.
The sun or the winter?
The sun.
Sun is opposite.
The sun sets in the west. And it's going to set in the west in the summer further north, and in the winter further south. Right? We just had the
shorter solstice.
The winter solstice. And now, slowly, slowly, the sun every day is going to set slightly further. If you go out today, if you stand, you have to, the problem is you have to stand in exactly the right spot. Right? So if you're here, if you come here for the early mincha, stand right at this window, and like on this line of this balata, and watch the sun set, and like mark it with like a wax crayon on the window. Come back tomorrow and do the same thing. Not only will it be a minute later, but it'll be a degree or a fraction of a degree further north. And then if you're doing it the other side of the year, you'll see it moving to the south. In the winter, the moon is going to be relative to the sun to the north. And in the summer, it's going to be relative to the sun to the south. Now, I'm glad Tom is not here. I'll even say I'm glad he doesn't listen to the recordings when he's not here, because he would explain that what I just said is not technically true. But it's true enough to understand the Gemara. So that's the machloket. In other words, in the summer, there's one correct answer, and in the winter, there's a different correct answer. Tanu Rabbanan, Echad Omer Gavoa Bet Mirdaot, Vechad Omer Gimel Eidatan Kayemet. So they say, like, how high is it in the sky? So how do you answer that question?
Not so high.
Well, what time of the night it is? Yes, and presumably that was part of the question. But I think they're asking when you first saw the new moon at the beginning of the night. In other words, the new moon is immediately visible right after the Shkia, right? Because remember, the moon is going to be over here. The sun is setting over there, casting its light up against, right? Do you understand how it works? Casting its light up against the bottom of the moon, which is why we only, from here, we only see this sliver. So what was the elevation of the moon? So what do you mean the elevation? I mean, I guess if they had an astrolabe, they could say it was X number of degrees. But they didn't speak in that language. So they said it was about this many
goads.
Goads? What's a goad?
I have no idea. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah? What's a goad?
A goad is a stick.
It was like a handle, like a rake handle. You know, like
a long stick with a point at one end used to prick and urge an animal.
Right.
To goad the animal.
Yeah. Oh,
goad.
It was a tool, meaning it was a kind of common tool that was a kind of standard measure. Right? So if you held one of these things, right, you could sense like how high it was. So, but what if they don't agree? What if one says it's about two and one says it's about three? So Chazal understood that you can't get like a precise measure, like the way it would if you were a sailor at sea and you had the astrolabe or astrolabe. We rely on you. Right, where we could tell you it was exactly, 47.2 degrees above the horizon. Right? So Chazal said, like, if as long as it's close enough, one says two. You know, like they say, like if you see, like how big does the full moon look? Well, there's an optical illusion, right? There's an optical illusion when the full moon rises near the horizon. It looks very big,
but that's it. Or any building.
Or any building, right? Now, this is, if you have some kind of close frame of reference. A building.
All you have to do is just go like this. Look at your hand, all of a sudden it looks small.
Exactly.
You don't see the,
but how big does the full moon usually look like? Is it usually the size of a nickel or a quarter?
A dime.
Well?
5 shekel piece.
Well, if you hold a quarter up at arm's length.
That depends on how tall you are.
It depends on how long your arm is.
They correlate with each other.
Yeah, but the fact here is...
That's why
yeah.
tall people require reading glasses at a later age.
Yes. Because they can hold the book further away. Yeah. So, in other words, Chazal understood that people aren't very good at making these types of measure guesstimations. You know, there are all types of studies done like this. Like if I fill a bag with rocks and it weighs 5 kilo, and I ask people to pick it up and tell me how much does it weigh, it's going to vary by a wide margin. People are famously bad at making these types of estimations. How fast was the car? You're an eyewitness to an accident. How fast was the car going? Right? It's almost impossible for anyone to get that with any accuracy.
But for some reason, I read somewhere that like in crowdsourcing, when you take a very, very large number of people with a very large number of people, the number will be surprisingly accurate.
Right. But then you need a large sample because you have to figure for the fact that somebody's going to get it right and there's going to be a...
Well, that's because everything works like that.
Right. That was who wrote that book, The Wisdom of Crowds?
Yeah.
Surowiecki, James Surowiecki. Yeah. So one guy says it was 2 handles tall, and one says it was 3 handles tall. That's okay. We can assume that they're describing the same phenomena. But if somebody says, Echad omer gimel, echad omer hey, one says it's 3 and one says it's 5, so we allow you 1 standard deviation of variance, but not too much. One says it was 3 tall and one says it was 5 tall, it's hard to say that they're experienced the same phenomena. But edatan tela aval mitstarfin le'edut acheret. But the guy that said 3 can then join with a zug of another guy that says 3, or a guy who says 2, or a guy that says 4. It's like an interesting question. Does that mean that the guy that said 5, you have 2 guys. One says 3, one says 5. So what do we say?
They can't both be true.
They can't both be correct. And therefore...
Can't accept that.
No.
No, either on their own.
Except
whichever one, somebody else also testifies.
If 2 people say 5, what happens?
If 2 people say 5, then it's then Edutan Kayemet. Right?
So that's the same thing. A third person comes and says...
A third person says... You have one guy says 3 and one guy says 5. And then a third person says 3. And obviously all the other details have to match as well. So then the first guy who said 3 and the second guy who said 3...
Become a pair.
But the guy that said 5, what happened to him?
Ignore him.
Well, obviously we ignore him. But his Edut is cancelled. Even though... His Edut is only cancelled once someone else comes along.
Right.
Because if the third guy that came in, it's like Schrodinger's cat. One of these guys might have the correct Edut. We just don't know which one until we have a third person that comes.
What do you do if someone comes with 4?
Yeah.
So then if someone comes with 4, either of them can be Mitzarei for love.
Either of them can be Mitzarei, then it's actually more of a problem.
Right.
Because then, if either of them could be Mitzarei, then 3 and 5 can't both be right.
They can.
No, they can't both be right.
You take the first to ignore anybody else.
No, because it's still too far apart.
It's too far apart to accept them as an Edut together.
If someone came with a 2...
If you came with a 3 and 5, and then afterwards a 2 and 6 walked in, you have 2 sets of Edim,
then you would probably throw out all 4 of them. Because
why?
Because the 5 and 6
are good.
No, because you can't have a discrepancy that's too big.
The 5 and 6 aren't.
Why can't... Because the Gemara says you can't have a discrepancy that's too big.
You can't have a discrepancy as part of a single Edut.
No, but if you had... You take all the Edim together...
Except the other 2.
No, if you have a 2 and a 3 and a 5 and a 6, clearly there's something... You don't know what... The 2 and the 3 are mitzvah, and the 5 and 6 are mitzvah, and you still don't know which is right.
You've got 2 people that are near-sighted and 2 people that are far-sighted.
I don't think they could... I mean, based on what the Gemara says here, I can't see how they would... Resolve that.
I thought they'd take the first 2 and then disregard anybody else that comes. The first two match, and then they disregard everybody else.
That would avoid the problem.
I think that's correct. But David's point is an interesting one.
Four is more of a problem because I think, you have a 3 and a 5, they're both sort of in this like limbo, and they need the 2 or the 6 to redeem them, let's say.
Yeah.
But if a 4 comes, so that 4, like, who are you choosing to redeem? You have to decide which is the right one. You can't, 3 and 5 couldn't have both been right, so how did they know which is the Edut to accept?
But it's not, that three and five can't be right. It's that Chazal were not willing to accept a discrepancy that large to be part of a single unit of Eidut.
Right.
Right.
But clearly, if one said three and one said five, and somebody came in afterwards and said four, I can match him up with either of them.
Because it doesn't really matter whether it's three or five. It matters whether they saw the...
No, but you're saying there is an essence of when they say one says three and one says five, that one of them, they can't both be correct. One of them has to not be true.
Except that they both saw the moon. They measured one of them.
They did.
One of their
estimated. Their estimate is
the Yoda. One of them is not.
Yeah, but all the other criteria.
It was 101. If one said one, one said 100. You know, the one was not.
But all we care about is verifying that they saw the new moon.
No, you care about whether they saw the new moon and reported accurately.
No, everything.
Otherwise, we wouldn't care. They just said they saw the moon.
There was only the one thing which was inaccurate. So they both made a mistake of how they measured the height, but everything else was correct. So obviously, there were things that were not true.
Why would they toss out the Yoda?
No, but the reason that we want to know. We need to match them up with somebody because we need to know if their Yidut is valid. But we don't really care whether it's three or it's five. We just care that they could have seen the new moon.
True, but you were just saying that if somebody comes before,
then you know that three or four or five could have also seen the new moon.
But they can't have both been right. So you need, if somebody came with a two, the three guy was right, the five guy was just, he didn't see it correctly. But if you see three, you see a four.
If you match the four up with the three, it's like you're telling the five, or your Yidut isn't good, go home. You don't tell them anything. And
I'm not talking about like how you report it to the guy, but how you relate to the Yidut.
So it doesn't really matter. As long as you have two Yidut that you can match up to report to the Rosh Chodesh.
How do you know which one?
Because the four is the correct.
Yeah, how do you know whether to pick the three or the five?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The whole thing, the whole group is not going to matter.
It matters that we
because the
four
is in the middle. So you know the four is the correct one. So you just pick one of them because you have a short discrepancy. You can match it up and move on.
Pick the wrong one.
Look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, you see, after this is long Rashi. And then there's this Rashi, like three quarters of the way down, it says, Aval mitztarfin le'edut acheret. Echad mehem mitztaref. Im aid acher shiyamar kamotu. If there's another aid that says that matches him or is, you know, within the one standard deviation, then they can match up.
So Rashi doesn't relate to it.
But Tosfot says, you see, Tosfot aval mitstarfin la edut. Lamanda amar. There's a gemara in Shavuos that says b'shnei kite edim shemachishot zedzu. You have two edim that two sets of edim. And one says, one is prepared to say whatever it was, Reuven owes Shimon money. And the other is prepared to say, Reuven doesn't owe Shimon money. So it's not like you have two Edim that, if you have two Edim that contradict each other, what do? You throw them both out. Because the Edus of one Ed alone is nothing. But what if you have two valid sets of Eidut? One cut, one zug of Eidim say Reuven is Chayev, and the other one says Reuven is Potter. Right? Zuba bifnei atzma umeida, v'zuba bifnei atzma umeida. Nichade mitstarfin le'edut mamon. Avalamanda amar bahade sahade shekare lamale heich mitstarfin l'shum Eidut. Afil Eidut Achodesh. So here, how can someone, you have two Eidim. One says three and one says five. So shouldn't they cancel each other out? And then you'd need a new set to come and say,
no,
03, 04.
They're not opposite. It's not like saying, this is Nick, he owes and he doesn't owe. That's complete opposites. Here it's just a measurement they're disagreeing on, but the actual moon they saw.
It's a factual disagreement.
But it isn't that we're
out. Because if someone said he saw it at 100, you'd probably say either he was drunk, he's lying or something. He wasn't accurate. So you know, you have to, the way you can know they actually saw the moon, they have to give some description that fits in the reality of what
it is. Of facing the right direction, with the right shape, with the right quadrant.
Yeah, but there are only a few categories. They say, like, what shape was the moon? So if the person says it was a triangle, we know he's off his rocker.
Right.
And we say, what shape, what color was the moon? And if he says it was green or blue, we know he didn't see the moon.
Right.
If you have three and five, and you say You can't say they can't switch each other out. Let's say they say, okay, we need two new agents. Two new agents come, it's three and four. So the three are the same agents as the first threes, but you cancel them out.
No, but in other words, if somebody says, I saw, let's say Chazal knew, let's say the Betin knew through their own knowledge that the new moon was meant to be seen at three heights. And somebody comes and he gives perfect testimony. I saw it on this night. I saw it at this time. I saw it facing this direction. I saw it to the north of the setting sun. I saw it to the south of the setting sun. Right? How high was it? It was 100. Right? So if it's 100, what does that mean? It's not in the west anymore. It's in the east. Right? It's in the wrong... It's not possible. So what do we do to his Eidut? We cancel it out. There's a range of the possible.
Right, so 3 and 5 alone, we say, they're not valid each other.
So, no, in other words, 3 and 5 alone, it's not that they...
It's not that they're wrong, they have nobody to validate.
They can't, the two of them together can't be a zug.
Right.
But it's not like...
You can't say they cancel each other out.
Oh, but it's not like when one age says Reuven is high of the money and Shimon is not high of the, is potter from giving the money. Then they cancel each other out.
Right.
And then we need two new Adam to come. Right?
In this case, there are two people who are giving testimony that could be validated. Nobody can validate them.
Right.
And the third person to validate them.
Right.
And that third person should seemingly be able to validate either.
Right. So when one says three and one says five, so we can't do anything with them.
Right.
But if somebody comes and says four, so technically it can be mitzdarif to either the three or to the five. Why?
Because all the three and five are waiting for something.
Because first of all, it wasn't three or four or five. It was probably three and a quarter, three and three quarters, or four and a quarter, or four and four quarters. So when the third person comes and says four, if they agree on all the other details, he gives a mitzarif to either of them, because at that point, it's within the standard deviation. All right, let's go.
Tell me something. The testimonies, they have to be in the same place? Or if a testimony is over a hill and the other one is low, they can change. Wow. For me, it's three.
Yeah, but in other words, but they would each have to match the details relative to where it is that they saw it. Right? Gemara says...
So in other words, if one side is covered on one side, it doesn't matter, it's okay.
Yeah.
As long as they match the details.
Right, in other words, if I'm down in the Vadi, I'm going to see the moon at an elevation relative to the horizon different than if I'm up on the hilltop.
Right.
Tanu Rabbanan, Re'inhu b'mayim, Re'inhu b'ashashit, Re'inhu b'avim, ein me'idin alav. If a person saw the moon but did not see a unmediated vision of the moon, if you saw the moon but you saw it reflected in a pond, you didn't see the moon itself, you saw its reflection, or you saw it reflected, let's assume by ashashit, you know what an ashashit is?
A lantern.
Meaning you saw it reflected in a plane of pane of glass. Some say you saw it through a pane of glass. You were inside and you saw the new moon through the window. So you know what happens when you look at, oh look, there's the new moon. Look at that window. Look at that window right now. Turn around. I'm pointing. Right? You see there's the new moon. No, what is it? It's the reflection of this light. But doesn't it look like a new moon? It's kind of crescent-shaped. It's white. It's hanging in the sky more or less in the right place. There are all types of distortions that can happen when looking through a mediation. But most people explain the Gemara that you see it reflected in the glass, not you see it through the glass. Or if you see it through the cloud cover, ain me'idin alav, then that testimony doesn't count. you know, our minhag is to do kiddush. Now, what they're doing is not what we do when we say Birkat HaChodesh, you know, on Motzei Shabbos. This is Motzei Shabbos, we'll do Birkat HaChodesh.
Weather permitting,
God willing. Although it's pretty amazing how rarely we don't get to say Kiddush HaChodesh. It's like a Siyata Dishmaya.
Right.
I remember in the days when we used to daven on the street on Motzei Shabbos.
Where?
On the end of the block. In the caravan days.
Yeah.
So I'm told they still have a minion there. I remember somebody said, what do you do? We had a guest once. So what do you do if it rains?
So I said, in one of the building.
And I say, it never rains.
It always stops.
It's amazing how rarely that happens.
Right.
Right?
Well, I mean, if it was raining at that time, you probably it was raining like 15 minutes before and you just go to shul. It's not like you, I mean, it's unlikely to be like suddenly out of the blue you're out there and you have to run inside.
Maybe.
I lived...
in that building, yeah.
I live, you know, walk down the stairs and I'm there. I could not get there on time. No matter when I thought the right starting time was, and I would get out there a minute early, they're in the middle of Kriyachma.
Well, you know what time that minion always starts 5 minutes before
right.
it's supposed to, so. Anyway. But you know, Kiddush HaChodesh, not Kiddush HaChodesh, Birkat HaChodesh, which is not Kiddush HaChodesh. That's not what they're doing. But there's certain, like, all of the minhagim of Birkat HaChodesh are somewhat connected to this Kiddush HaChodesh. And it also has to do with the reinstitution of the Sanhedrin and the Betin and Malchut Beit David, etc. But why do we go outside? It's cold out, even if it's not raining. It's going to be cold out. But we can stand here and look out the window.
Not only that, but we don't have a cover over our heads.
What?
We don't stand under a cover.
Yeah, like even if you're outside, but you're under the awning, you should be tachat kipat hashemayim. So whatever, there's all types of reasons. Some of them kabbalistic for this, but people are makbid not to look at the moon through the glass window. Based on this, Gemara. And there's a Shaila. Unfortunately, a blind person does not recite Birkat HaChodesh. Because it's a bracha of Ri'iyah. Just like Rachman Litzan, a blind person can't say a bracha on a rainbow or on these other visual phenomena. But some people are machmir. To like take off their glasses for a moment and look up at the moon. Now, if I did that, I wouldn't see the moon.
Right, so
but if you're not in such a bad... So the people that are careful to do that and then put their glasses back on so that they like even momentarily see the moon without the intervention.
Unmediated
through the glass because of this Gemara of the Ashashit. This is just the Chumrah.
I leave my glasses on to see the moon and then take them off to see the word.
Yeah. Now, you know about chumras. There's no end to them.
Is there any discussion, I don't know, in like Tchumin or some places, if we were ever to return to Kiddush HaChodesh Piriyah, if we would be able to do it through eyeglasses?
I'm sure someone must consider this, but I...
Written a whole book on it.
Do you saw this book about the Sufganiyot?
Yes. I mean, it's a book. It's a book. Post about it.
There's a sefer, like a real, like a Lumdish sefer, which is like... 500 pages long, called the Sefer Emek Sufganiyot, but the halachot of Sufganiyot. You wouldn't believe.
No, I wouldn't. Too much time.
That's such a thing. Right? It rivals the 2-volume edition of
Arba Kanfot.
No, Arba Kanfot. You have 7 months, but the 2-volume edition of Birkat Asher Yotzer Kehilchata.
2 volumes.
It comes with a scratch and sniff appendix.
And the shear, too. The shear.
I got a WhatsApp thing yesterday. Sof Zman Achrat Suganiyot.
I remember the old days.
Regular in the Rabbeinu.
I remember the old days, like, you know, the night after Hanukkah. I don't mean like tonight, I mean last night. Going into like a beggar looking for Sufganiyot, they look at you like you walked into a hardware store and asked for a pound of cheese. Anyway, the Gemara says, if you saw it reflected in the water, reflected in the glass, or through the clouds, ein me'idin alav. But if you saw chetzio b'mayim, v'chetzio b'avim, v'chetzio b'ashashit, ein me'idin alav. And if you saw half of it in the water, and half of it through the glass, and half of it through the cloud,
or.
So similarly, ein me'idin alav.
So the cloud and the ashashit, I can understand half. How do you see half in the water?
Well, if you see it above the horizon.
Like in the ocean.
If the horizon is the water.
Or maybe what it means is
moonrise. You see half of it above and half of it reflected in the water.
Rashi says, Runu b'mayim toch nahar o ma'ayan ra'inu dmuta shelevana. But what is, so the Gemara asks, hashta kulo amarta. Lo chetzio meboye, right? So in other words, the Gemara first says, if you see the whole thing, it's no good. Like, what does the Gemara need to tell you? If you see half of it in and half of it out, it's no good. And also to tell you, if you see the whole thing, it's no good. So the Gemara says, no, we need to state both of these. Right? So that you, because why? What? Maybe what's the case? Right, and it's maybe like you see like half of it reflected in the water, maybe like half of it is covered by cloud.
Well, that's what you said.
What?
That's what it was. It said chetzio b'mayim. What's the difference between that and what's the difference between chetzio b'mayim and chetzio b'mayim and chetzio b'rakia? Oh, you're saying if you only saw half?
Yeah.
And you didn't see their half at all. That's it.
Tana Rabbanan. Ra'inhu v'shuv lo ra'inhu. We saw it momentarily, and then we didn't see it. It disappeared. This does happen.
All the
time. Right? You go out, you're the last guy to get out. Like, there's some people that are the first ones out there. Just like there's some people when they start singing and dancing, they're already halfway home. And there's some people that stay there till the end of the Tovim Belarus.
You need to, Tsuras Alabana.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're not Yotze.
So there's some people that are the first ones out there. So that by the time you get out there, and there's already 50 people, and you're saying, where's the moon? Where's the moon? And they point.
Where it was, right.
It should be observed, this is, it's not a chumrah, this is the din. You know, like there's all these things in the Birkat Levana, the Shalom Aleichems and the Psukim, the things you say three times, and the things you say backwards three times, the things you bounce up and down for, and then the stuff at the end, right? And the Tehillim, etc. But in the middle, somebody turns to you and says, Shalom Aleichem. You're supposed to say, Aleichem HaShalom. Except it's a good chance that at that moment, you're in the middle of the bracha. Right. Like the real thing is the
very
bracha.
Good chance.
And, you know, it's like that way, like somebody asks you what time it is. It's like the moment you put something into your mouth. Right? So you can't be mafsik in the middle of that bracha to say, Aleichem HaShalom. You can smile at him, you can nod, you can whatever it is, but you can't be mafsik in the middle of the bracha itself to say, Aleichem HaShalom. So if you saw it and then you didn't see it, Ein me'idin alav. What does it mean? If you saw it and you didn't see it. Did he see it or didn't he see it? He saw it. So what does it mean? So like, if you're going to give Eidus HaChodesh, so what happens? You're walking, like there were probably people like Astro Tom who were like really into this. Who knew tonight there's a good chance there's going to be a new moon. And if there is a new moon, it's going to be right over there on top of this guy's house around this time. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to be ready because I want to see it and I want to go and give Kiddush. When I see it, what am I going to do? I want to get Kiddush. It was a great kavod.
You're going to write down the various facts.
Yeah, but they're like...
And it was a free meal.
And you get a free meal out of it.
You're going to remind.
And you get it. You probably, it's like meal a week. You get off from work, right? Because you have to schlep there and you have to schlep back. It was probably a great kavod. Probably in the Ephraton, they wrote, Mazel tov to Tzvi Meisels. This month, he gave the Eidus HaChodesh. Right? It's probably a big deal. You got a certificate suitable for framing. Yeah, you got a certificate suitable for framing, I'm sure. So you'd go out and you see it. So, and when you see it, what are you going to do? You're going to take, if not actual notes, you're going to make a lot of mental notes.
Right,
it was exactly this high. It was at this time. It was this big. It was pointing in this direction. It was wherever it was relative to where the sun set. Why? Because you know these are the things you're going to be asked. Right? There are people who, like, you know, if someone rear ends their car, they know exactly what to do. You get it. First of all, you should keep your cool. You go out there, you have your phone, you take pictures of everything. You get the guy's license, you take a picture of it. You get his phone number, and you call it while he's still there to make sure it's the real number.
Oh, cool.
Right? Like, there's a drill. You should know what to do. There are other people, they go behelim, and before they know it, they've driven off, and they don't know who the guy was, what the license plate was, what the phone number was, what, etc. I speak from experience, because if you see my wife's car, you'll see the dent in it, and we have no idea who did it.
It was before the days of cell phones. It was an excuse.
No, I remember. You remember you used to get from the insurance company, you used to get that card to fill out all the details of in case of an accident, to get all the... because everybody knows afterwards who's going to remember what kind of car...
I never admit to anything.
My wife doesn't know what kind of car she drives. I said, what kind of car do you drive? A gray one.
Silver.
Yeah. So I think she knows what kind of car hit her. So... Hi. So
you're walking home, right?
Yeah, I'm walking home. The car's in the garage. So anyway, that's Astrotom. But you're Stama guy. You're walking home from shul one night, and you look up. You say, "Hey, is that the new moon? Oh! Wait, let me get my pen. Let me get my phone. Let me get right." And then you look up again.
Let me look for my stick to see how.
And then you look up again in order to like get the facts.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. Ra'inu v'lo'inu. V'shuv lo'inu. Ain't made in love. This guy can't give testimony. Even though, what can he do? He can go to Betin and say, yeah, Takai saw the new moon. Kol hechi chazula v'azli. As long as he saw it and then it disappeared. Omar Abaye, hachiko omar ra'inu me'aleinu v'shavnu lir'oto mida'atenu v'lo ra'inu. We saw it kind of by accident, me'aleinu. We saw it like on its own, it like popped into our eyesight. And then I wanted to get a good look at it so that I could, you know, record all the facts. And that's when it disappeared on me. Ein meidin alav. My ta'ama. Why? Imor kuvita de'iva ba'alma hu dechaze. Because maybe he didn't see the moon at all. Maybe all he saw was
the reflection.
The puff of a cloud. Right? Maybe it was just a little white round cloud hanging in the sky, and by the time he turned around, the wind had blown it away. Right? Or maybe any other. No, or whatever it was. Or maybe it was a reflection, or maybe it was any type of thing that, right? Rashi says, eagle shell av lavan. Right? And it is not sufficient to, like, glimpse at the moon. You have to like make all these observations in order to give the edut. So lots of people see the moon and don't pay attention to it. I mean, it's like a musr. Like, you should be attentive.
And you're saying that we have to just see the moon for at least 10 seconds, 15 seconds without disappearing.
They don't say, no. In other words, it could be that somebody is, like, there are people like this. You know, like, there are all these experiments in social science where we, like, see, you know, like, I can show you, you know, that video of the gorilla?
Mm-hmm. People throwing the ball, counting.
People are throwing, yeah.
To each other.
People, like, three of us are passing a ball, and you're supposed to count how many passes we make, mm-hmm. right? And while they're doing this, a guy in a gorilla suit juggling bananas walks behind them. Right. But if you're focused very much on one thing, you're going to miss this rather unusual juggling gorilla.
Rabbi Farmer mentioned this once in his thing about how, like, the thing of the snare.
Ah, I was just about to say, yeah, go ahead.
So he said, like, you don't really think it's a miracle. You see a snare, you know, that Moshe saw the snare boar. But right. The truth is, seeing a snare boar is actually not anything particularly interesting. Like, yeah. You can find that all the time in the Mugar.
If you're in Australia.
But to see it burning and then wait and notice that it's not...
It's not it's
that,
right.
You know, but, low. That's you have to actually pay attention for that.
That's the greatness of Moshe. Asura, right. Let me take a look at this and see if there's something remarkable here. That ability to differentiate between the everyday and the remarkable disguised as the everyday is what separates Moshe Rabbeinu from everyone else. So that and that idea of like even like in nature. Right, we are inured to nature because we live amongst it. And no matter where you live, like how beautiful. I mean, think about it. Our view, like every one of us, except for you, because you live down there.
Yeah, I have no view.
Right? We have this view. And it's like amazing. If you're three flights up in the building, you have a different view. Right, and if you're four buildings down, you have a different view. But each of you on this vadi, which is of course the staging ground of the greatest events in Jewish history, right? If we were here years ago, looking out from our backyard, you could have seen Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Veshtei Narav Imo, Viyaret Hamakom Merachok. You would have seen them walking to the Akedah right here underneath our houses, right?
So, but Abdul Ibrahim. Well, isn't that why the village is named for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but what?
Right next door. The little village there. The one right across from us. On yeah, yeah.
But how?
It was the place where Avram, where they say that Avram stopped there with the Narim, and he left them there and continued on.
But
it's called Abdul Ibrahim.
But, like we're like numb, right? We don't every single morning standing there look and be filled with awe at the beauty of those kramim and the, you know, in the summer when you get those magnificent sunsets, you notice it for the moment at sunset, but only because you want to get the picture to post to Facebook. Right? Before Facebook, we didn't notice those sunsets because we didn't have that incentive.
It didn't exist. We did.
So,
I don't have Facebook.
But the point is that that's also nature. In other words, nature is around us. We become numb to it. But if you pay attention to it, you can, as the Rambam says, you can find, it's a path to Avat Hashem. Because, right, he reveals himself to us through the natural world as well. So the same thing here, there's a halach. This is much more the side of the halachic man. Right? The halachic man looks at that sunset on, the Rabbi Soloveitchik says, the halachic man looks at the sunset on Yom Kippur afternoon, right? And he tells us, you know the story, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yom Kippur afternoon, the Rav's father takes him out to the courtyard and he sees the sun setting over the west, in the west, over the trees. And the Rav's father says, this sunset is different than all the sunsets because it's mechaper, right? With the setting of the sun comes the slicha and the kapara, right? So as you can see, like, the halachic reality in the natural state. So too with the moon. Right? You look at the moon, right, and it creates a halachic reality. It changes the definition of time. It means Yom Kippur will be 10 days from today instead of 10 days from tomorrow. Right? It means you have to do Korban Pesach 14 days from today or 14 days from tomorrow. Right? You have to stop eating chametz now or you have to stop eating chametz then, and it's the difference of an Isser Kares. And we control it because we observe natural reality. But natural reality has to be observed with a certain amount of... It's not a question of like 10 seconds or 15 seconds, but it has to be with like a certain amount of intention. Right? It can't just be something that you accidentally see. Right? And because the difference between... I mean, this is just like a Musar Vortem, it's like a Shal Shudas Torah. But like the difference between like seeing it by accident... You walk out of shul. Right? You walk out of shul on the night of Rosh Chodesh... You walk out of shul and you turn left. Unless it's a cloudy night, you're gonna see the new moon, right? Because it's right there when you walk out of shul. But there's a difference between seeing it by accident, like the moon hitting you in the face, and you encountering the moon. You encounter the moon, you can run to Beis HaMikdash and give testimony and change the reality of time. If you see it by accident,
that's a more
well.
Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye, like, okay. Okay, the Mishnah says, let's learn the Mishnah.
Go ahead.
The Mishnah says, Rosh Betin Omer Mikudash V'chol Ha'alef. Sometimes I think people think we must like rehearse these bits, but it's not. Rosh Betin Omer Mikudash. When the testimony is accepted, so the Rosh Betin, the president, declares it is sanctified. V'chol Ha'amoni Macharav Mikudash Mikudash. What do you think the Gemara is going to ask? What? Imagine for a second you didn't prepare in advance. Imagine you don't know what the Gemara is going to say. What do you imagine the Gemara is going to ask?
Why does the Am say it twice?
Yeah. You should always try to anticipate what the Gemara is going to ask. Ben Shanira Bismano, Ben Shalonira Bismano. Whether it's seen. On meaning whether it's a chaser or a mole, whether it's
the 29th or the 30th,
right? Whether it's seen on the night following the 29th or the night following the 30th.
In any case,
right? Makachinoto, meaning there's no such thing as a 31 day month. There's no such thing as a 28 day month except for February, except for when leap year gives it one day more. In halacha, there's either 29 days or 30 days in a month, right? So, if there's no, you know, like let's say it's like a storm, and nobody sees the moon, not on this night, not on that night. So we know that the 31st day is
the first day of the next.
Is the first day? Why? Because there's no such thing as a 31st day. Right? If you've gone 31 days since the last Rosh Chodesh, by definition, you reset the calendar. Right?
It's like a default. It's a default. Yeah. If you don't bring it in early, then it's always on the 31st.
Yeah. Right. If the moon isn't seen, and it's either if the moon isn't seen either because that's a longer month or because the moon wasn't visible, so then the 31st automatically becomes the 1st. Right. But they still say, it seems, whether it's seen here, whether it's seen there, Mikad Shinoto, they still do this tekes. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Im lo nira bezmano, ein Mikad Shinoto. So he says, no. When do you have to do this Mikudish thing? When it's on the 29th. When the 30th becomes the first day of the next month. Because that requires activity. But if nothing is done, then automatically the 30th is going to become the last day and the 31st is going to become the first day. So when it's happening automatically, because by definition there's no such thing as the 31st day of the month, the 31st day of the month automatically becomes the first day of the month, so the Bedin doesn't need to do anything since it happens on its own.
You still say Kiddush even though Shabbat is... That's not
that. Because there's a separate mitzvah asay of Kiddush Hayom, right? There's a mitzvah asay to even though Shabbos is Mekudesh on its own, we have the ability to make early Shabbat, but at Shkia, whether we do anything or not,
it becomes
Shabbos comes in and it becomes forbidden to do all those malachot.
Right. Okay, but even so, but nevertheless, that may be the support for the Orphan.
So you're so
the source of the source of the
so David, since you've learned ahead, you can anticipate this idea that sometimes there's a mitzvah to make kiddush independently, and other times. So that's the question: is there an independent? What's the machloket here? You might say it has to do with how do you view this kiddush hachodesh. Is it an independent kiyum? Or is it a functional matter? In order to create, just like, look, if you don't do anything on Friday afternoon, Shabbos comes in on its own, let's say at Shkia. But if you want to create Shabbat, as we all should because of the obligation of Tosefet Shabbat, or because of the conveniences of making early Shabbat in the summer, what do you have to do? You have to actively make Kiddush. You have to actively, whether it's Kiddush on a coast or some verbal declaration or lighting candles, you have to do something active to create Tosefet Shabbat. So you could say that's the second opinion in the Mishnah. If you want to say it's a chaser, you want to create Rosh Chodesh a day earlier than it automatically would have been, so then Bet Din has to say Mekudesh. And if you don't want to do anything, you can sit back passively and Rosh Chodesh will happen on its own. The first opinion in the Mishnah says either way, it's an independent obligation. The second opinion says it's a functional act. So maybe that's the difference between them, and we will continue this Gemara next week.